Hello, and welcome to the Antifragile Tarot Podcast. This is your resident card slinger, Susanna, here with the 2nd December episode. So this episode is one I've been promising for a good long while now, and I really wanted to record something else, but I am so stressed out from finals and didn't know what else to do and didn't have anything planned, and I've been putting this off. So you finally get the Lenormand episode. Yay! So what is Lenormand? Well, if you're familiar with tarot, and if you've been listening to my podcast for a while, or one of the above, at least, you should know by now that tarot is a 78-card deck. At minimum, tarot is a 22-card major arcana deck. But in theory, it's 22 major arcana, 56 minor arcana. It's arranged a certain way. And it has, you know, years of history and lore behind it. And, you know, tarot has a lot of other esoteric systems woven into it. Astrology and Kabbalah are the two main ones. Numerology is big. Other kinds of symbology, especially depending on, you know, if you get a more modern deck or, you know, what have you. But Lenormand is a little bit different. So the popular kind of Lenormand is something called a Petite Lenormand. This is a 36-card deck that is based off of this other card game that was really popular in, I want to say, Germany, called the Game of Hope. And so, you know, just as some backstory, Marie Lenormand was a very famous cartomancer, French fortune teller. And France had a huge, huge wave of love affair with card reading, especially for cartomancy reasons. All of Europe kind of did for a while. There is a book I really love called The Stockholm Octavo that is all about that. It's a novel. I really recommend it. It's not tarot. It seems like more like Lenormand cards. I definitely recommend that if you want a book that is kind of about card reading but is not, you know, terrible. I really enjoyed it. So, these cards are not technically the cards that Marie Lenormand read with. These are another set of cards that became popular after her death. And these have experienced somewhat of a resurgence lately. I don't know why in particular. I guess, you know, people are looking to branch out from tarot, and I think that sometimes tarot can be really intimidating because it does have all of these other esoteric layers to it. It's a lot more cards. It's a lot more metaphor. Lenormand, however, is a little bit more straightforward, but that can be a little bit deceiving. So you shouldn't let the fact that it's a smaller number of cards and the fact that it's a little bit more literal, you shouldn't necessarily think that means that it's easier, because there are still quite a few layers within Lenormand. And in fact, if you're familiar with tarot, it can be a little bit difficult to kind of disassociate some of the meanings. So like the tower in, there's a tower card in Lenormand, and the tower card in Lenormand is not analogous to the tower card in tarot at all. In Lenormand, the tower tends to signify, you know, something old and established, not chaos. And there's something to be said for there to be some kind of parallel, but something to be careful about when working with different systems is that you don't conflate them, especially if they weren't meant to be used together. Using tarot with Kabbalah actually makes a lot of sense because there's a lot of Kabbalistic imagery and paradigm working within the tarot construct. But pretend that was in English. Finals have me spinning. It's been a heck of a time. But, you know, something like Tommy Kelly's 40 Servants deck, that is not meant to work with Kabbalah. It's not meant to work with astrology. So there's no real reason to conflate the two. And Lenormand is also, it's very much its own system. So what do I mean by that, that it's its own system? A lot of the things that you may have come to learn from tarot really don't apply to Lenormand. It's also not as loosey-goosey as a lot of oracle decks. In my friend Elizabeth, or friend and patron Elizabeth's Divination Station group on Facebook, you should really check it out, and check out Divination Station on Instagram as well. There was actually a discussion recently about what oracle decks were, and the person who posed the question had kind of said that they were under the impression that oracle decks mean decks that are created more for tapping into psychic abilities or spirit guides. I don't think that's a bad description at all. It's a little more specific than the description that I tend to go to, which is a less defined, more generalized cartomancy deck. It could be 10 cards, it could be 50. It could have some kind of rhyme or reason to its organization. It could not. You know, the Animal Spirit deck by Kim Kranz, who made The Wild Unknown, that deck is a little more structured. It has suits, almost like tarot. It has elemental associations. Most oracle decks don't really have any kind of hierarchy or system, and neither does Lenormand. Well, Lenormand doesn't have a system like that where there's divisions within it, but unlike other oracle decks that are just kind of a general collection of themes, Lenormand does have very specific meanings for its cards, and there's very specific kinds of layouts that you do with Lenormand. Another thing to note is that they don't use reversals at all. I know that reversals in tarot are a bit of a contentious subject. Not everyone reads with reversals. I don't think everyone necessarily has to. I definitely read with them, but they're also not the be-all, end-all for me either. Something else to consider is that while Lenormand cards are a little bit, they're a little bit more literal than tarot, and they are a little bit more positive and negative. Like, there are some cards that are definitely coded as more negative, in some ways that I think that tarot is a little bit more up to interpretation, for the most part, with very few exceptions. In Lenormand, you do still have to use context, and Lenormand is extremely context-based. There's really no such thing as a one-card draw in Lenormand. It's the Labyrinthos website. Labyrinthos is the umbrella that encompasses the Golden Thread Tarot, the Luminous Spirit, and they have the Seventh Sphere Lenormand as well. Now there's a Golden Thread-style Lenormand that Tina Gong created. They say that it's a semantic form of reading cards. So it's you make sentences, you make structures. You know, when you're reading tarot, yeah, I do my readings pretty linearly for the most part. I mostly read left to right. But if I feel like I need to hop around in that reading, I'm going to. And there's nothing wrong with that. In Lenormand, you are really supposed to read them in a pretty defined order. If you're doing a line spread, whether two to seven cards, you do it literally, you lay them out in a line and read them that way. You could also do a box spread. I did a box spread for my singular $20 patron who normally gets a Celtic Cross every month. But the Celtic Cross isn't a spread in Lenormand, so I did a 9-card box spread. And I did a few things with that, including reading each line, reading the corners as a set. So you really have to work within the context there. They're really important structures in place to help you read Lenormand. Something else to consider, Lenormand cards do have playing card associations. Not all Lenormand decks will include them. So just like tarot, because Lenormand has become pretty popular, there are several different styles of Lenormand cards out there right now. You have very, very old-fashioned ones with like Victorian imagery on them, sometimes a little rhyme on them to help you remember the meaning of the card. And a lot of them will have what are called playing card inserts, or a little tiny, or sometimes not so tiny, indicator or picture on the card that shows you what playing card it's associated with. Lenormand, like tarot, has been used for games, and using the playing card inserts can also help you when you're using Lenormand for timing. Timing is actually a big thing in Lenormand, and it's why a lot of people like using Lenormand over tarot. I do timing with tarot as well. You know, if I get a lot of cards that are early in a suit, I'll say this is probably a more immediate concern as opposed to cards that are later in the suit, like tens, or even cards that are later in the major arcana that may indicate, you know, something that's going to be in the future, so to speak, or something that's a more long-term project as opposed to a short-term thing. But Lenormand is really made to be read a lot more practically than tarot is. You know, tarot, I've said this a bazillion times, tarot is very psychological. Tarot is very spiritual. Something else to consider with Lenormand style decks when you're getting them. Unlike tarot, the actual physical symbols on the Lenormand cards are not really meant to be there to spark your intuition. You kind of have to know what each card means and indicates. Like any system, that's something that you just develop over time. You develop your own associations. You know, because like tarot, Lenormand cards can have a whole wealth of associations for one card. One of the biggest books in Lenormand is Rana George's Essential Lenormand book. That's the book that I got when I was really getting serious about delving into Lenormand. She's perhaps a little bit more on the woo side than I tend to prefer in a figure, but I think that her Lenormand work is really sound. I didn't pick up her Lenormand deck for a variety of reasons, but you might really like it, so it's definitely worth checking out. And her Essential Lenormand book is a really wonderful resource. So you do want to be careful when you're getting a Lenormand deck that you're not getting one that is going to distract you with the imagery. You know, you're really not supposed to read into the imagery. If you have a solid foundation in Lenormand, I feel that you can pick up any deck and kind of work with it. That's another thing about Lenormand too. If you are doing readings with it, you really should be getting the same general feeling about it as another Lenormand reader. It's another reason why it's a good idea to go into Lenormand with a slightly more formulated question than you might do with tarot. I mean, yes, you can definitely do a generalized reading with Lenormand. You know, what do I need to know for the next month? But if you have a really specific question, Lenormand is awesome for that because of just how specific it can get. I did do Lenormand readings for my Patreon in November. I will probably do another one at some point next year. As of now, I'm not offering them as part of my Etsy lineup. I hope to do more work with them and to get more comfortable with them because I really like using them. So when you're selecting a Lenormand deck, as I said, something to consider, you probably want playing card inserts. For me, that was very important to get used to it. You want one where the cards are pretty true to form. So I actually went with Under the Roses Lenormand. I did this for a few reasons. I did it because it was in the store where I wanted to buy a Lenormand deck. I really liked the imagery on the cards. I felt it was pretty straightforward. It had playing card inserts. I also liked that it has alternate man, lady, and child cards. So those tend to represent people, although the child can represent like new beginnings and stuff. But the man and the woman tend to represent the querent, people in the querent's life. Something I'm still working with is how I like to read Lenormand and queer it up a little, because even more than tarot, there's a little bit more of a genderific bent to the man and lady cards. So, you know, if I know that I'm reading for a queer person, I may choose to put two man cards in there, or to just consider, you know, the other card that comes up if I think it's a romantic person to mean the person of whatever gender expression they like. I don't think it's a critical part of Lenormand. And it doesn't always mean a romantic person at all. Obviously, if you're doing a romantic spread, that will indicate a romantic person. But if you're doing a more generalized spread, it does not necessarily mean that at all. But I did like that because there was some diversity in there. They had a lighter skin and the darker skinned man, woman, and child. So I actually mixed and matched it because I really like the look of the darker skinned lady and I really like the look of the lighter skinned dude. I did feel that the darker skinned child is also really cute. So I kept that in there. But, you know, you can switch it up. I like the lighter skinned gentleman. He's still racially ambiguous, actually, but he's very emo. In the Under the Roses Lenormand, he's very, very emo. Like he's like in a black suit and holding a red rose and has like that emo swoop haircut. I also really like Under the Roses Lenormand because there's an app. And you know how I feel about my apps. You can take it on the go with you, you can practice with it that way. I have been doing Lenormand draws, usually two, sometimes three cards, before I do a test to see how I'm feeling about how it's going to go. So that's been kind of cool. But there are a couple things about Under the Roses Lenormand that I would at least have as a word of caution, as much as I like it. Some of the cards are named differently. So the tower is the clock tower. The book is the journal. I feel like there's another card here that I am forgetting right now that is also a different name. The birds are the owls. And like that's something where, you know, the birds are kind of mean gossip, but owls seem pretty wise. So again, unless you have a really strong grasp of what is going on with Lenormand, you might want to be careful and try to make sure that you're getting a deck that sticks pretty closely to the symbolism of Lenormand. But if you go into it knowing that, I think you'll be okay. I really enjoyed reading with the Under the Roses Lenormand, and I plan to continue. I did also get Pixie's Astounding Lenormand. Pixie is Pamela Coleman Smith's nickname. She did the Centennial Smithwaite, a.k.a. Rider-Waite, a.k.a. Rider-Waite Smith tarot. And Pixie's Astounding Lenormand is a Lenormand deck that is actually a collage of her artwork made into a Lenormand deck. The reason I decided not to go ahead and learn with that one is that I was afraid that the tarot imagery in that would trip me up too much. I didn't want to bring my tarot associations into reading with Lenormand. So I decided against that. I still have it with me. I might switch over to that and see if I actually like reading with it better than Under the Roses. I also kind of want to see if there's an app for that as well. There's an app for that. Advertising has worked its way into my brain. You know, something else to think about with Lenormand, the cards are usually small. Petite Lenormand is the word for it. They're smaller than tarot decks. They're often the size of, I think they're actually a little bit smaller than the tarot in a tin. They're nice and compact, which has an appeal. And again, remembering that there's no reversals, the backs are usually kind of like a one-way image. A lot of tarot decks, you'll notice that the backs look the same no matter which way the card is facing. In fact, in tarot, it's kind of considered a bad thing if you can tell that a deck has reversals with the back. Obviously, not all tarot decks work with reversals. I know Toth doesn't work with reversals. I'm pretty sure that the Wild Unknown is not created to as well. Again, with tarot, there's almost this idea of anything goes. Like, yes, you work within the system that you're choosing. I have very strong feelings about that. But with Lenormand, you really have to do that in a much more disciplined way. I'm not positing myself as a Lenormand expert here. I've just been working with the system for most of 2018 now. I've been researching it. I've been looking into it, and I feel reasonably confident doing readings with it. I just want to be a little bit more proficient before I officially add it to my paid repertoire, because I don't like offering a service that I think I am not doing 100% on. You know, like anything, that's a lot of practice. So I really do need to seek out some more practice in the new year. I think that's most of my ramble on Lenormand there. You know, there's a lot of indie decks out there. There's a lot of indie decks on Etsy, actually. I definitely found a few that I really, really liked when I was doing my looking arounds. On the subject of diversifying it, the Seventh Sphere Lenormand actually uses Anima and Animus as man and woman, which is a nice touch. Definitely kind of draws on that masculine feminine energy, active and passive energy vibe that I tend to use when I'm reading the court cards in tarot, since I do try to divorce some of the more antiquated gender feels from the cards. I really like the system. It's really good for some of those more practical questions. But, you know, as always, a card reading is a card reading, and things can change. And you should not base all of your choices off of a singular deck or a singular reading. Use your best judgment. Don't get discouraged if it's different than you thought it was. And, you know, again, have fun with it. I love Lenormand and how literal it is. We often talk about that in my Discord. So, you know, we've come to the let me sell myself part of the episode. I'm not just selling myself because I'm also really grateful for the people that I have. I'm grateful for my patrons. If you're listening to this, again, thank you for bearing with me while I do my final. My final exam is on Tuesday the 18th, and readings are just going to be a couple days delayed this month, but it'll be worth it, I promise. That way you'll get my full attention on your readings and not a distracted, terrible reading. If you're a patron, $1 a month gets you access to my patron-only posts and access to the Discord, where you can chat with other people who are probably pretty like-minded if they are listening to my podcast and enjoying what I do. So we're a pretty good group there. We're really supportive of each other. $5 a month or more gets you a personalized reading every month in your inbox, and one free reading of your choice throughout the year that you can use to redeem for a bigger reading. You could gift it to someone if you really wanted. I work with you. So $5 a month gets you a 3-card reading. $10 a month gets you a 5-card reading. $20 a month gets you a Celtic Cross spread. But I'm thinking of diversifying that to just big spreads in general. Haven't decided. I only have one $20 a month patron. So, you know, there's that. You can also order a one-off reading from me on my Etsy. I'm Anti-Fragile Tarot on Etsy, and I'm Anti-Fragile Tarot on Patreon as well. I'm Anti-Fragile Tarot on Etsy. Always check in on my Instagram. I'm Anti-Fragile Tarot on Instagram, or my Facebook, Anti-Fragile Tarot. I post sales. I will be having a sale closer to the solstice that will probably run through the end of the year. So stay tuned for that. I don't have it up yet, but I've been running sales repeatedly. And I'm happy to work with you. So if you're super broke, work something out with me. We'll make it happen. I don't have any immediate events that I'm doing coming up, unfortunately. I just missed a Jersey City Oddities event. I had to work my hospital job during that. But there will be an amazing Valentine's event in February. So if you're in the New York City area, I definitely recommend hopping on the path. You can get right off at Exchange Place. Actually, may not be able to get right off at Exchange Place at that time. I'll keep you posted when it comes closer to that. Yeah, follow my Instagram, follow my Facebook page. I also have Twitter, but I'm really bad about keeping up with it. But I'm Anti-Fragile Card on Twitter. And, you know, always feel free to shoot me an email. I'm antifragiletarot@gmail.com. Even if you can't support me financially, following my stuff, liking my pictures, and shooting me an email to discuss an episode or, you know, tell me that you enjoyed it, it means so much to me when people do that. Really, honestly, just as much as when people throw cash my way. The cash is nice. I'm broke and I need the help. But just knowing that I'm not speaking into the void is really meaningful. And I love chatting about stuff. So, like, if you want some, you know, interpretation of cards that you drew for yourself, or you want info about doing readings professionally, like, just hit me up. I will reply. And if you send me an email and I don't reply in a couple days, please feel free to ping me back about it. I'm so fried from school. I'm definitely going to make an episode about self-care soon. Perhaps a video. I do mean to start doing more videos in the new year. I will be doing a video for my patrons while I'm in New Orleans visiting family over the new year. So that's going to be really great. And I expect to find some cool witchy stuff there. So I'm really, really excited about that because I've never been in New Orleans. And I have been an Anne Rice fan since I was a kid. So it's going to be super great. It's only going to be for a couple days, but that's okay. And remember, the new year is an awesome time to get a 12-spoked wheel spread. I do this really great 12-card spread. It's a big deal. It's a good spread. People really enjoy them when I do them for their birthdays or for the new year. So even if you wanted to buy that now, again, I'm going to have a sale. If you wanted to buy that now and save it for the new year, feel free to do that. It'll be great. All right. Thank you again for listening. I really, really appreciate it. And if you have any more questions about Lenormand, let me know. I guess I didn't get as specific as I could have. I might do a deck review of a couple of Lenormand decks. Actually, I think that's where I'll get into some specifics. But yeah, I really like working with it. I think it's a nice addition to tarot. And I think for people who are more interested in straight up fortune telling, Lenormand is a great way to go about that. But don't be fooled by the fact that it's not as esoteric as tarot. It still has a great deal of symbolism. And you have to be very disciplined to read it well and to stay within that structure and not get caught up in, oh, let me interpret this because this picture on it looks like, no, we're not doing that with Lenormand. You are not going to say, oh, but the mice on this mice card are really cute. Yeah, well, they're causing you trouble and they're messing up your walls and they're eating your food. So we're going to stick with that. I don't care how cute they are. All right. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a witchy and or wonderful day or week. Again, email me antifragiletarot@gmail.com if you have ideas of what you'd like to hear on a future episode. And I love to hear from you. So thank you again. You'll hear from me in the new year, but I hope that the rest of 2018 is okay for you. I know this has been a really, really hard year for a lot of us. It's been really tough and humbling for me personally. A lot of my friends are just having a crazy year, family problems and job problems. And, you know, we're just going to get through it and we're going to, you know, work with 2019. We're not going to tell 2019 to come at me, bro. We're going to tell it to put the broken bottle down, back away. But we're also going to try to do our best to start the year off on our right feet and make it a good year. Remember to do the mundane things as well. I know it's a big drinking holiday, so make sure that you have a designated driver. If you are the designated driver, enjoy the heck out of some food and some special mocktails or sparkling water or LaCroix or what have you. If you are drinking, I'm a drinker myself, but I'm cutting back a little bit in the new year. So, you know, check in with yourself. Don't feel the need to overdrink just because it's the new year. Drink to your comfort level or decide to go sober. You're the creator of your own life. Make 2019 great. If I don't talk to you before then, I hope your new year is swell. I hope you set some great intentions. If you celebrate Yule, I hope you have a great one of those too. And happy Christmas to anyone who's celebrating Christmas. I hope you have a joyous Kwanzaa. Hanukkah's already passed, but I had a great Hanukkah. I don't know about my fellow Jews here. I hope all your celebrations are great. I hope that you avoid drama with your family, and I hope that we all go into 2019 feeling well-rested and, if you're partying, happily partied, not drama partied. And I hope it's a really good one. I think we can make it happen. 19 is my number, so I'm going to make it my year. All right, I'm actually signing off now. Have a witchy and or wonderful week, and I will talk to you soon. Goodbye.